to a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, if I could. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Just prayed, but my manner is to always pray before I begin in the Word of God. So if you would, just let me pray quickly again. Father, in Jesus' name, it's time to look into the Word of God. And I ask you to help us, Father. I pray tonight you'd do an eternal work in our midst. Remove any hindrances and get glory and honor and praise out of all that's said and done. Oh God, please do an eternal work and supply the needs of your people this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Sunday night we were talking about this. We were in Galatians chapter number 1, and Paul said this. He said, "But though we or an angel... we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And then he comes back in verse number 9, and that, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now they say to me that this text carries the idea, the commentators say that carries the idea of, if they preach any other gospel, let the phrase "be accursed" means let them die and go to hell, which on the surface to me seems very harsh. If I was to analyze that, if that in the flesh, I would say that's a very harsh stand to take. But false doctrine sends multitudes to hell. It just sends multitudes. One man preaching false doctrine, if a group of people embrace that truth, that one man is responsible for sending a multitude to hell. And so that puts a soberness about the doctrine of salvation. And we kind of took a spin off of that and began to talk about ecclesiastical salvation. And that's a big word, but it just means doctrinal. I said ecclesiastical salvation. I meant ecclesiastical separation. And we took a little spin off of that, and we started talking about separation to some degree. Now, here's some things that Paul didn't do. He didn't say, "You don't agree with me, but we're both love the Lord, and so you preach what you want to preach, and I'll preach what I want to preach, and everything will work out." He didn't do that. He didn't say, "Lest you and I engage in dialogue, and perhaps I can convince you what the truth is." He didn't say that. He drew a clear line of separation. Now, here's what you're going to find out. Here's two thoughts. Here's two thought processes. And I'm going to talk about separation for a little while. There's two thought processes. We can stay with those in error and try to help them. Now, that sounds like the Christian thing to do, does it not? Does that not sound like, if I was to say, what's the Christ-like thing? And there are people we can help. I don't want you to run me in the ditch on that. But the fact of the matter is, God's plan is when people have chosen a particular path, an evil path, or a particular false doctrine, and they've embraced that, they've made their mind up about that doctrine, The biblical truth is not to stay with them, not to tolerate them, not to allow them to be in the midst and spread poison. The Bible says false doctrines like leaven. But here's what the Bible teaches: separate from them. The biblical truth is we always come out rather than stay in or stay with. And so you need to get that truth down. Now, the fact of the matter, that sounds a little harsh. If I was thinking, that sounds a little harsh. But you know what I found out down through the years? And I don't guess I'd ever really put it this way. But there's a lot of things in the Word of God that is harsh to our flesh. It's just harsh. It's hard. It's not easy. It's hard against the flesh. And I think this is one of those things, because really those that you struggle separating from many times is those you love. And I'm not saying you ought to give up on your family. I'm not saying any of that. But you ought to be careful about your family influencing your children in the area of false doctrine. Or in the area of sin. You ought to be careful about that. I keep in mind, false doctrine's like leaven. It grows. It will not stay dormant. It's like cancer. It keeps growing. So with sin. Sin is like leaven as well. And so here's the Lord's answer to that. And that is biblical separation. It is right at times for you and I to separate from a particular group of people who are embracing false doctrine or who are going down an evil path. Now that's the Bible. Well, the Bible teaches this Corinthian letters. You need to kind of get a general idea. The books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians are correctional books. The word is good for correction. Now I want you to understand this. They were very carnal, but Paul hadn't give up on them. It wasn't at the point that he was ready to separate from them. He realized they were babes in Christ, and so he is going to make every attempt to help them with their error. And so we see that. Now, I need to say this also, if you were to study, and I don't want to go through all the scriptures with you, but you can start in 1 Corinthians and work your way through 2 Corinthians, and you will see that one of their major problems in their life was a failure to separate. Failure to separate has a negative influence upon your spiritual life, and I want to say will lead you or will direct you towards a sinful lifestyle. Now, it doesn't necessarily cause, it maybe doesn't necessarily create the sin, but it will position you to sin. And you need to understand that. And mom and dad, you need to understand that for your children. Let them be around sin long enough and they'll dumb down to it. And if you're not careful, they'll think it's okay. That's exactly right. And so Paul, even though he's preaching separation, he hadn't separated from the Corinthians at this point, because they're in that progressive stage. The verdict's still out on them. And so it is with a lot of God's people. The verdict is still out. Now the Bible does this. It teaches three areas of separation. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, it teaches we're to separate from the unfruitful works of darkness. Now the unfruitful works of darkness, I'm going to use, it probably covers a little more than this, but I'm going to use one word for it. That's talking about sin. We need to separate from sin. I don't think anybody will disagree with that. It's right. God wants us, practically speaking, to be holy people. Positionally speaking, we are holy. We're seated with Christ in the heavens. But He wants us to practically be separated. Romans chapter 16 and 17 teaches doctrinal separation. I read it the last time, but I'll read it to you again last time we preached. Now I beseech you, brethren, now listen what the Bible says. This is not the preacher giving you his opinion or his thoughts on it. This is what the Bible has to say. In chapter 16 and verse 17, it says this, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Ben said this, opening up one morning, maybe the last time you opened up, Ben, I don't know. He said this, it's biblical to mark people. Well, here's the case. I don't know if this is the passage you use, but here's the case. We're supposed to mark people. Well, what kind of people are we supposed to mark? Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. That offenses carries the idea of stumbling, causing people to stumble. Here's what it says. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and yoke up with them, tolerate them, allow them to be in your presence. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this, and avoid them. There's your doctrinal separation. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, very familiar passage. We could spend a long time preaching on that, but we're to separate from disorderly brethren. That's a biblical truth. Now understand, I believe in practical sanctification or progressive sanctification. I believe that. I believe that's right. I know that's right. But the fact of the matter is, somewhere down the road, if that brethren establishes that as their lifestyle, your responsibility is to separate from it. Now that's pretty harsh, because that's the brethren. That's those we go to church with on a regular basis. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. Now that's the Bible. That is the Bible truth of separation. Now there may be some other areas of separation, but that's the three basic areas that I see in the Word of God for separation. But then let me say that there is such a thing as unbiblical separation, ungodly separation. Number one, separation that's based on the tradition of men. The Pharisees, they separated because people did not do what their fathers said they ought to do, not what the Bible says. Let me just say this to you. Live your life by the Bible. I mean, every one of us has been raised differently. We've been taught different things. Some of us have different values. Some value the job more than others. Some value pleasure more than others, and this and that. Let me just say, what you need to do as God's people, let the Word of God guide your life. Let it dictate who you are. As we preach the truths of the Word of God and you're convinced it's the Word of God, let it change your life. My, you know what's wrong today? We've heard so much gospel and just refused to act on it. When I say gospel, I should say truth, Bible truth. Excuse me. We've heard so much Bible truth. We know, I would suspect we are living by half the truth we know we ought to be living by. I suspect that out of most people. We know so much more than we're doing. And I don't know how we can expect God to help us anymore till we line up with what He's told us to do. I mean, We're sitting here spinning our wheels in the mud like a vehicle spinning its wheels, unless when we hear the Word of God, we act on it. We let it change our life. And we beg God to give us grace to do what the Word of God has taught us we ought to do. I do believe it's going to take grace. Most of us are unconcerned. And I could say this, you need to be concerned, but you can't just say, I'm going to be concerned, you're concerned. It takes the grace of God. He has to help us. And when I say grace, He has to favor us when we do not deserve His help. We're undeserving of God's help. You agree with that, wouldn't you? We're undeserving of His presence. If He never passed by Ridgeview Baptist Church again, He'd be just in doing that based on who we are. But aren't you glad He's a God of grace? Sufficient grace. And when we least deserve it, when we're least worthy of Him coming by, He'll just slip by and bless us. My, what a God. Sometimes when I've been the coldest, I've been in my car just going down the road. Maybe just hear a little song or maybe a little phrase or something that would get my mind thinking spiritually. And all of a sudden, God would fill up that car. I mean, I told that to one preacher and he said, that's never happened to me, but it's happened to me numerous times. Just going down the road and not even be thinking about God and be worldly. And all of a sudden, God just shows up. What is that? Preacher, what is that? Can I tell you what it is? It's God's grace. My, when I've been least deserving, there's been times that God's just showed up and helped me along the way. My, well, let me get back to my little thought. There's a separation that's not ungodly separation. Separation based on the tradition of men. Hypocritical separation. You know, a lot of separatists, they call themselves separatists. They commit more sin than those they're separating from. Amen, that's right. I'll tell you what I'd do. I wouldn't separate if I was more sinful than one I'm separating from. I might run them off, but I'd be careful about trying to be holy Joe when I had a lot of sin in my life. And then there's isolational separation. The Amish, they move way out in the country, away from everybody. That's not the will of God. We're to be lights in the world. You don't go out and crawl in the cave and call yourself a separationist, a biblical separationist anyway. You don't do that. My, God wants us. We're in the world, but not of the world, don't you say? And so the Bible teaches several forms of separation. And so that brings me to our text in chapter 6. I just want to give you a little background, and then I want to give you just a few little truths out of chapter 6. And number one, I want to start in verse 11. And here's what he says in verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Now here's what Paul is telling them, the Corinthian believers. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're not right. And he was very plain spoken. He didn't beat around the bush. He was very plain spoken. And here's what he says, our mouth is open unto you. What he's really saying, I've been very plain spoken to you, but I have love for you in my heart. And can I say, just because somebody's plain spoken, that doesn't mean they don't care about you. That many times that means they do care about you. You know, sometimes love has to say harsh things. It has to say uncomfortable things. That's just how it is. That's where the Apostle Paul is. Notice verse 12. He says, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. And what he's really saying, that straitening means it's tightening up. It's getting smaller. The straight path. And what it really carries the idea of, he's saying to them this, it's not me that doesn't love you, but it's you that's not loving me. That's the gist of what he's saying. Now here's what the man of God is doing. He knows they're not what they ought to be. He knows that. He knows they're far from where they ought to be. Fact of the matter is, many of God's independent Baptist preachers would probably have already wrote them off and already separated from them. But Paul knows they're babes. They're not where they've not been in this thing very long. And he knows their relationship is strained from verse 12. But can I say this? That does not stop him from being honest with them about what their problems is, what their problems are, and what the solution to those problems ought to be. And that's what a man of God has to do. And here's the thing. I know there's been a multitude of times I've preached in this pulpit and people have left angry at me. But I hope this. And I hope they can never say, you didn't preach the Word of God to me. Now, I'm sure sometimes I've gotten the flesh and just ground and had an axe to grind and just went at it. But I hope, my heart's desire is that I just, in love, preach the Word of God and preach it plain and straight and easy to be understood. You cannot let the frailty of a relationship compromise, as a man of God, compromise the preaching of the Word of God. You can't do it. Hey, we're going to read it in Galatians next time we preach there. If you please men, you can't be the servant of God. You can't do it. You young preachers, if you're going to seek to please men, forget it. You don't even deserve to be in the ministry if you're a man pleaser. I believe that's a fair statement. Maybe that's a little harsh, but that's a fair statement. A man of God seeks to please God, not man. And I understand sometimes with babes you have to be a little careful. I understand that. But the Apostle Paul said, here's your problem. Here's what you have to do to solve it. And if they didn't solve it, I don't know what he might have done. Now, we're going to see that later on, or they did solve some of the problems, but some of these other problems, they're still wrestling with. And so the Apostle Paul is going to deal. He's telling them, I was plain spoken to you, but my heart was enlarged. I love you. And he says, the problem between our relationship, it's not me, because I love you. But the problem is you not loving me. And he's going to say in the Galatian letter, why am I become your enemy? Because I told you the truth. Can I say a lot of God's people make the man of God their enemy because he tells them truth? And here's what they say when you preach the Bible. We live in such a compromised age. They say this, he's some kind of radical. He's some kind of fanatic. What's wrong with him? Why does he make such a big deal out of this? Can I tell you, the Word of God is a big deal. It's a big deal. We ought to stand firm on the Word of God. Well, here's the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to him, and now he's going to address. This is probably the greatest passage on separation. You can see it in 1 Corinthians 5. You can see separation. In chapter 10, you can see separation. In chapter 15, you can see separation. But here's the one I want to deal with for just a little while and give you a few truths about this thing of separation. And so he says this. Now, verse 13, I skipped that. I need to share what he said. He's saying, I love you, but you don't love me. Now for a recompense or a reward in the same. He said, because I love you, you need to reward me with your love. I think that's a fair statement for the Apostle Paul to make. And notice what he said. I speak as unto my children. You're like my children. Be ye also enlarged. In other words, let your heart overflow with love like my heart loves you. That's what he's saying. But then he addresses the problem. He says this, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. With unbelievers. Now, in spite of strained relationships, he's going to tell them, here's what he's going to say to them, you're wrong. You're not right with God. You're wrong. Now, they don't love him much anyways. Their love has grown cold. But here's what he loves them enough to tell them truth, even if it cost him their friendship. That's how it ought to be. That's how it has to be. That's how it has to be. So he says this, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He's addressing the problem of yoking up with unbelievers. And I think that's a problem for a lot of God's people. They yoke up with unbelievers. And I think there's a little truth we can see from verses 11, 12, and 13. Failure to practice biblical separation will hinder your love toward the man of God. Because here you are doing what you ought not to do, and a man of God is calling you out on it and preaching to you and saying, hey, that's not right what you're doing. And it's so easy for folks, instead of saying, yes, that's what the Bible says, that's right, I'm wrong, God, you're right. By the way, that's repentance. That's a change of mind about sin in your life. I'm wrong and you're right. The preacher preached it right. I'm going to get right. Instead of doing that, many times what they do is get angry. He's picking on me. He knows where I'm at. He's trying to tear me down. He's singling me out. Fact of the matter is, the Holy Ghost may be singling you out. It may be. And so here he is and he says this, be not unequally yoked together. And so based on verse 11, 12, and 13, I think we can imply that a failure to separate hinders the relationship between you and the man of God. And then we want to see this. If you look at this, notice what it says, be ye not. Be ye not. You can go down a little later and it says, come out from. Now here's the truth I think we get from that is this. It's your responsibility to separate. It's your responsibility to separate. You don't need to wait till your friend that's ungodly and leading you down the wrong road separates from you or ostracizes you or that club or that group or whatever it is, you don't need to wait for that friendship, that partnership, that alliance, that organization, whatever it is you're yoked up to that's ungodly. It's not for you to wait till they separate from you. Many times they will, but the fact of the matter is it's your responsibility to separate from them. And you better get that down. It's your primary responsibility. Biblical separation is an individual responsibility. Amen. That's how it is. Say whatever you want to say, that's how it is. And so, we see it's the responsibility of the believer. Now, not only that, I want to say this about this thing of separation. It's not wrong to be yoked up. It's not wrong to be in a partnership. It's not wrong. Let's use the words they use in the text. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's not wrong to be yoked together. Let's go on. For what fellowship hath righteousness with the unrighteousness? It's not wrong to have fellowship with the right people. Nothing wrong with that. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And what communion? It's not wrong to have communion with people. And we could go through all of them, concord or accordance. It's not wrong to be in accord with people. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? It's not wrong to be in agreement. As long as it's the right people you're in agreement with. In fact, I think the Lord wants all those things in our lives. You believe the Lord wants us to fellowship as God's people? I know He does. He wants that. You think He wants us to be of one mind? I know He does. Be all of one mind, it says somewhere in the Pauline epistles. Do you think He wants us to be yoked up together in carrying out the work of the Lord? You know He does. You know that's right. All these things he's talking about, because he's telling them not to do that, the reason he is because they're yoked up, they're in agreement with, they're in communion with the wrong people, don't you see? It puts responsibility on you who you get close to. It puts responsibility on you. It's not wrong if you have the right people, as long as it's an equal yoke. The wrong in the relationship is in the inequality. Inequality. If it's tearing you down. Now I want you to notice this, and I'm going to share this. Came from a commentator. Be ye not. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together. Come out. Let me see where I can find that out. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among the world. Be ye separate. Touch not. All those are action words. Now, here's what the commentators say. You take it for truth or not, but I know the truth they're expounding is right. I don't know if it's so. They say that those words are present tense, and they're in the imperative mode. That means nothing to me. That present tense, I think I know what that is. But here's what they say in the Greek language. This thing of present tense carries the idea of continually. It's an action that goes on and on. Now, I believe I'd be right to say this. You don't separate one time in your life and you have that issue out of the way. It's a separation. It's an ongoing thing and an ongoing thing and an ongoing thing. And we carry it the rest of our life. Now, listen, I'm not talking about, I feel like I need to come back and say this again. I'm not talking about young believers who have not had a chance to get established. I'm talking about somebody that's been in the way and they decide this is how I'm going to live. They've made up their mind. This is it. And so, separation is a continual action. I'd like to say this, it's a daily function. That's what I like to say. I don't know if that's so every day of the world. Maybe you're off somewhere away from people. Might not be a problem. But sin, you can commit sin about anywhere. And so if we look at that aspect of separation, it would be a daily thing. So separation's a daily thing. And then they say this idea of the imperative mood. I don't know, but I know this is right. And it makes me think they're right. That carries the idea of a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea. But it's a command. It's a command. I want you to notice, verse 17, just read it with me. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch the unclean thing. Now notice the next phrase. And I will receive you. In other words, he wasn't receiving them when they were not practicing godly separation. Is that what your Bible says to you? If you read that and you're open-hearted about it, here's what it says. If we don't separate, it breaks our fellowship with the Lord. I believe that's fair. I don't believe I'm reading too much in the Scripture. Do you? You've got to, hey, I'm going to ask you to live by it. Is that what it says? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. And here's what it says. And I will, excuse me, I will receive you. I will receive you. You know, I think a lot of God's people may have broken fellowship over this little thing of separation. I say little thing, I guess it's a big thing. Are you separated? Are you separated? I started thinking about that. He'll receive us if we separate. My. And I might say this, it's not just a separation from, it's a separation unto. Don't separate from one sin to another. Don't separate from one sin to some pleasure activity. It's separating from the unclean to God. That's what it is. Here's what he says. Let me read verse 17 and 18, and I'll be through. Wherefore come out from among you and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And then he says this, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here's what I think he's saying, that family relationship of blessings from the Father will be reestablished. It'll be reestablished. You believe that's right? I'm as sure that's right as I'm standing up here. And some of you, most likely, and maybe all of us in some areas of our life, are not separated like we ought to be. And you know what I think we're missing out on? The blessings of the Lord, of the Heavenly Father. He wants to bless his children. How many of you daddies, if you would be honest, even you granddaddies, want your children and your grandchildren to have the best you can possibly give them? Did you know he's a much better father than we are? He has a much greater love for us than we have for our children. You say it can't be. It is. It can be. And it is so. And he wants us to have all that's within his scope to give us. He wants to bless us with it. And he said, if you'll just separate. I'm not talking about hypocritical separation, pharisaical separation. I'm not talking about isolation. I'm not talking about dealing with the young convert until they get established and get settled and practical sanctification is kicked in. But I'm saying this, if we'll separate according to the Word of God, He'll receive us. The God of heaven will receive us. I know we're saved. I know that. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about fellowship tonight. He'll receive us. And He'll be that Father to us that He wants to be. And we'll be children He'll be proud of. By little doctrine of separation, we just blow it off. We think we can just play with the Word of God loosely and everything will be all right. No, it's robbing us of the blessings God has for our life. Let's bow our heads this evening. I'm going to ask Emily, just come and play. I don't know if anybody needs to come, but if God's spoken to your heart, I pray you be obedient to Him. One verse, Emily, if no one comes.